are listening to Wells Tech, episode 634, recorded on Tuesday, July 28th, 2020. Technology versus pandemic. Wells Tech is a podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today on the show, we are joined by Wells businessman and entrepreneur Art Flader, who introduces us to a new product that he has developed that will help congregations, schools, and other organizations take temperatures in trying to fight this pandemic that we're in. We have our regular tips and picks, some great community feedback, and some more resources there, COVID-related, video of the week, and much more. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech. This is a show about technology and ministry, and we're up to episode 634 and recording on Tuesday, July 28th, 2020. Joining me, as usual, my podcasting partner, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin. Or I shouldn't say afternoon. Normally, we record in the afternoon.
Oh, close enough. It's afternoon somewhere.
We're getting close. That's right. And hopefully people won't detect any grumpiness from the lack of lunch, because it's almost lunchtime, and that's not a normal for us. But
I found the older you get, the more rigorous you are in that hard lunchtime, that lunch stop and start.
Something you look forward to.
Yeah, your body tells you it's time to do that. So, but before lunch, we're going to talk about one of our kind of recurring, actually the recurring theme for this summer, and that's how to do church, or what church looks like in a pandemic. And there's lots of little angles to this. We've talked about music. We've talked about all kinds of things related to going back to church, Bible study, et cetera, et cetera. Kind of an interesting topic today. We had a chance to do an interview with a longtime Wells member and business owner, Art Flader, who is at Central Office Systems, and many Wells churches know Art probably from doing business with them. I know a number of their systems are in our churches and schools. But he's also kind of an inventor, and in this pandemic, there's a lot of creative thinking going around, and he and some folks on his team thought up a solution, or a potential solution, that churches and or schools might be interested in to help them through the pandemic and go safely forward as people come back in to their building. So I'm gonna tease it at that. I'm not gonna say anything more. We'll just let the interview speak for itself, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about it. Joining us today on the show is Art Flader, owner of Central Office Systems, member of St. Paul in Muskego. Welcome, Art. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm excited to. It's the first podcast I've ever been on. I'm very excited to be here.
Is that right? Yes. I'm glad we could be the first. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your anything that you'd like to share to get a little bit of a peek into the life of Art Flader for our audience?
Yeah, that is a boring subject.
Hit the highlights, huh?
Not even the highlights would be considered boring by most people, but. My wife and I live in Muskego, Wisconsin. We have three kids. They're all adult children at this point. My son runs a landscaping firm in Muskego. My middle son is just about graduated from UW-Whitewater. He'll be off the payroll in December. My daughter is going to UW-La Crosse, and she has about 2 years left there. And then she plans on becoming an attorney, so I'm not sure she's going to be off the payroll nearly as quickly.
Great.
Yes. But legal defense built in. That's great.
Right. I will have an attorney on staff, I guess, for a while then, huh? Mm-hmm. So, I bought Central Office Systems in 2007. It was a copy machine company, and about 4 years ago, we started an information technology company. So we started a computer company because we kept going to offices, and when we'd install the copier, the computer networks weren't mm-hmm. in good shape. And finally, after we kept seeing this, finally, you know, it hit me, maybe we should do computers too, because clearly there was a need for that. And so that's what's brought us to where we are today as a office technology company, and growing and thriving here in southeastern Wisconsin.
Very good.
Yeah, one thing you left out of your bio is that you're a TV sensation, because we found that you've been featured on the local news recently, and that was really what we wanted to focus on today. Your company has developed some kiosk that might be a pivotal player in the fight against coronavirus or other illnesses, because they take your temperature as you're coming into a building, for instance. So maybe you can tell us a little bit more about the background on why this might be an important tool.
Well, okay. And I'm glad you saw the TV thing. The most important thing I have to point out about the TV interview is that they got one major thing wrong, and that they called this my brainchild. And it's absolutely not my brainchild. So we have a vice president of information technology here at our company who runs our whole computer group. And he was at one of our clients, a company called Exciting Events. And for people who – Exciting Events is, for lack of a better term, it's the neatest thing is the guy who runs Exciting Events invented the T-shirt Gatling gun. So if you've ever been to a pro basketball mm-hmm. or pro hockey game, they bring out this huge gun that shoots like 300 or 400 T-shirts. It runs in a circle, and it looks like there's steam coming out of it, and it shoots all these T-shirts out into the audience in like 30 seconds. And he invented this, and he sold it to events all over the United States. And so he's a client of ours for computers, and he and my computer guy are talking, and Exciting Events also works with a lot of casinos and venues and things like that. And he said, boy, all these big hotels and casinos, they need a kiosk that takes people's temperatures, because people were standing, literally supervisors were standing and taking people's temperatures as they walked into buildings. And it took a long time. And my IT, my vice president of IT came back and said, hey, we can find the technology to take the temperatures automatically, but we don't build kiosks. And the guy from Exciting Events said, well, we'll build the kiosk. We just need the technology in the back end to run it. And so that's how we created the Pyrexia temperature scanner. It was that simple. Two entrepreneurial guys sitting and talking and saying, boy, if we had this together, we could create a temperature kiosk. And that's what it is. People walk up to it. You stand 3 feet in front of it. It takes your temperature and does it automatically. You don't have to touch anything. And basically, if your temperature is high, it warns you that, hey, maybe you shouldn't go into the building. Boring, kind of. I mean.
Very timely.
Tell us a little bit about the name. What's behind the name?
Well, Pyrexia stands for – Pyrexia is actually – this was the problem, is we were trying to come up with a name that, like the temperature and safety kiosk, temperature and safety kiosk would be called the task. But everything we looked up to try and find a name, we couldn't find a name that wasn't already trademarked or that wasn't, set up for something different. And Pyrexia is the Latin word for fever. Uh-huh. So I went and looked up that. Nobody uses the word Pyrexia except doctors. So if you said it to a medical doctor, they would know what Pyrexia is, because that's what a fever is called. Mm-hmm. And rather than call it a fever, since you're a doctor and you've been through, a gazillion years of school and you get to bill a lot for your time, they call it Pyrexia instead. Sure. So that's how we came up with the name.
Interesting.
And by the way, that name wasn't – nobody was using it. So that's – I guess the Pyrexia part is my brainchild.
Mm-hmm.
Except that the you know, Greek and Latin thought it up way before me.
Right. We'll give you a little bit. We'll give you partial credit for that one. Please. Now, on your website, it says more than just a thermometer. You describe kind of the temperature-taking piece of this. Why is it more than just a thermometer?
Well, this is the most interesting. To me, this is the most interesting part, and I'm a little bit nerdy about stuff like this, but this particular sensor was not designed as a temperature sensing device. It just happens to be the most accurate temperature sensing device you can get, but it was designed as a facial recognition security system. So if you picture like the movies Mission Impossible, and Tom Cruise would walk up to the security system and it scans his face and then it opens the door and stuff like that. That's actually what this does. That's what it was designed to do. It was designed to be in high security areas where it would do a facial recognition scan and then allow you either entry or deny you entry into, you know, the next level of the security area. It just happens to have a thermal scanner and an infrared scanner. And it has artificial intelligence so that it takes the temperature very, very accurately. And so this company, which was selling these things as facial recognition high security scanning systems, you know, about a month or two ago said, hey, maybe we should just sell the temperature part of it instead. And but it's way more than that. It's a full security system. You can recognize people. You can let them in the building by their face. You can see what time they came in. It tracks these things if you want it to. And the other area where I see this as a big deal is I believe that we're going to have contact tracing is going to become a big challenge. And I think that schools, I think churches, I think venues, I think companies are going to have to, you know, keep track of who came in and who went out. And, you know, did you check their temperature or not? Even if you didn't, who came in, who came out? You know, how long were they there? Things like this. And this kiosk actually can do that. It can actually take and, you know, show what time somebody arrived. It can show a picture of who they are. If they want, they can register on their phone and it can recognize their face. And they can use a QR code to sign in. I mean, there's all sorts of things that I think, particularly for churches and schools, I think it's going to be for, like, if you have a wedding, you're going to have 200 and some people at a wedding in a lot of cases, and you're going to have to know everybody who came to the wedding. This would do that. Same with a funeral. And then you have kind of a traceability back to who came and what was their temperature and, you know, did we go through all? I've seen some churches where they literally have gloves and you put on gloves to sign in. And then you have, you know, then they have a temperature thing that you got to check your temperature. You put on a different set of gloves to check your temperature. And then, you know, it's kind of a pain to sign in some cases. And this takes away that pain.
So can you tell us a little bit about the price point? Do you start, is there a different price point if you want just the thermometer part, or is it just all in one, or is there ongoing service to it, or how does that work?
Well, there's three price points. So the if you want one that's like sits on a reception desk, or maybe it sits on a cocktail table, you know, something that would get you about face height, but you know, they're $29.95, so $3,000. It sounds better when I say $29.95, but right. But they're $3,000 for the what I'd call the reception desk type mount, or if you put it on the wall, you could wall mount it. Then there's one that has like a lighted up pole, so the pole is about 6 feet high, and it kind of draws people to it because it's lit up. And so the pole would be a, you know, with the same scanning system and the same back end, the pole version is $39.95. And then we have a kiosk, and we developed the kiosk more for schools and more for businesses where you can, the kiosk has a large screen that you can display instructions. You can display advertisements on this. And you can even, on the kiosk, you can even brand the kiosk and make ads on the kiosk. So we've had some organizations that they've bought this kiosk, which is $49.95, but because they've put sponsors on it, they've been able to pay for the kiosk by using sponsorships. Because obviously everybody has to walk up to the kiosk to get their temperature checked before they come in. So, you know, there's three versions of that. And mm-hmm. The branded kiosk was initially what we thought would be the largest seller. But we're finding that most organizations are going for the pole-mounted kiosk, which is, you know, $1,000 less because maybe they're not getting the sponsorships. I really thought that more people would be able to go out and get sponsorships and, mm-hmm. you know, help pay for the whole thing.
So are you seeing this go into churches and schools? And if one of our churches or schools were interested, what's the kind of turnaround time to get this in the building? Obviously, you know, this is a product that we could have all used yesterday. So what's the situation there?
The turnaround time is about 15 business days right now. And we are seeing churches, and I've yet to have a school get one. Mm-hmm. But I think some churches where they're, you know, like St. Paul's, the church and the school aren't two separate buildings. But I mm-hmm. think we'll probably see some where the, you know, both groups will use it. It'll be kind of a combined thing. But we have sold a few to churches, but the largest area right now that we're seeing is, I'd say mid-size manufacturing businesses.
Okay.
That they've purchased quite a few of them because they have supervisors literally standing there waiting for people to come in, and then they're taking everybody's temperature, and it endangers the supervisor. Plus the supervisor ends up spending 90 minutes to 2 hours of their day checking people in for temperatures and signing everything in. And this greatly speeds up that process.
Very good. And I'm assuming that you provide support once the unit is in place. So if they've got questions or set up or those kinds of things, they can call central office for that assistance.
Mm-hmm. There's remote okay. support for the device. And, again, we can set it up so that it sees and knows everybody, or we can set it up so that it sees but it knows no one. Mm-hmm. So it can be either anonymous or it can be, you know, it can be fully functional as a security system.
Sure. Good. Well, before we let you go, let everybody know how we can learn a little bit more about the system, website and such, and if people have questions, how can they figure that stuff out?
Well, the website's PyrexiaKiosk.com.
And that's PyrexiaKiosk.com. kiosk.com. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or my copier website is centraloffice systems.com, and centraloffice system.com has this on our website as well. And anybody's welcome to call me. I mean, I have an 800 number, 866-203-7457 is my toll-free number. And we can basically put these almost anywhere in North America. So
okay.
866-203-7457 is a number to call me at. And just and when you get to that, we always answer our phone at our company, so you'll always get a live person during business hours. And just ask for Art. And then if I need help from a technical standpoint, I can always go get somebody to answer the technical questions.
Very good. Well, Art, we really appreciate you taking some time to join us and to talk about this, unfortunately, you know, very timely product. You know, we wish we didn't have to do things like this, but it's good that this technology exists, and maybe this is appealing and useful to our churches and schools and other institutions. So thanks so much for sharing your expertise and the product you've got.
Thanks for having me on the podcast. Thanks for my first podcast ever, and I didn't goof it up. At least it appears I haven't goofed it up yet.
Well done.
We'll see.
Leave that to us. Okay. Take care. Blessings.
Thanks.
Thank you, Art, for all you're doing and for taking a little bit of time out of your busy schedule to tell us about the Pyrexia Kiosk Project.
Yeah, really interesting technology. I guess my first reaction to talking with Art was his kind of vision that this is becoming or going to become the norm. You know, I remember back in April, late March, April, early May, we were thinking, we're going to get out of this. We're going to get past this. It's going to be over soon. And now I think we've all kind of resigned ourselves to thinking this is going to stick around for a while. And mm-hmm. and what we heard from Art was not just that it's going to stick around for a while, but that it's going to be a new concern that we're going to live with even as we emerge from these pandemic days where people are going to be more sensitive to people being sick, staying away, basically. And so, you know, a tool like this maybe is something not just to think about for the pandemic. Obviously, it solves a problem right now, but something that may be needed for an ongoing kind of new world we're going to live in.
Right. And I'm sure we'll see other solutions like this. But this this certainly seems well thought out and as non-intrusive, I guess, as you could make it, you know, in a situation where you're taking somebody's temperature and you're trying to figure out whether they're sick or not. This seems, you know, like a solution that might work for a number of people. So interesting days we live in. So we'll see. We'll have to circle back with Art and see how it's doing and what kind of traction they're getting. Specifically, obviously, we're interested in churches and schools, and hopefully all churches and schools are trying to figure out, you know, what the best approach is and, you know, try and find some kind of best approach to how to do mm-hmm. this kind of thing.
Have you had any temperature-taking experiences, Martin?
I did. I had some blood work done maybe 3 weeks ago, and they greet you at the door mm-hmm. and take your temperature. And then certainly at home, I do that once more now than I used to, I guess. So I've got the thermometer out. Used to be kind of tucked at the bottom of a drawer just in case you need it at some point. Now it's a little more, got a little bit more prominent space mm-hmm. in the bathroom.
Yeah, I've had the experience going into a building as well. But in my case, when we were traveling a few weeks ago, we made a stop just to kind of stretch our legs and see something interesting. We stopped at the North Dakota State Capitol and also at their connected museum that's kind of around the corner from the Capitol. And in both places, they had systems like what Art described, where we stood in a certain place and we were probably 6 feet away from something that looked like a camera, and they took our temperature. And I was really impressed. It was quick and easy to do, and they said, sure, go right in. And so I have, you know, kind of experienced what he described, mm-hmm. a detection unit from a distance like that. It's pretty impressive and quick.
Right. And I'm sure we're going to see more and more of that as we're seeing, as we're recording, this number spiking in a lot of different places. So mm-hmm. not necessarily a bad thing. I think we'll get used to it, and we understand the need for it as well. So, again, thanks, Art, for taking the time to do that, and hopefully it goes well. All right, let's move along in our show, our abbreviated show during the summer months, Picks of the Week.
And actually, I probably should give credit where credit is due, that this is probably considered a Rachel Feld pick. Many of our listeners will recognize that name. Rachel is one of our semi-regular classroom technology correspondents, and she's one of the people that leads a group called Tech Tools for Wells Teachers over on Facebook. And just yesterday, she posted a spreadsheet I thought many people would appreciate hearing about. It's a Google spreadsheet that's just shared publicly, basically. And it has links to different tutorials, especially for Google tools, certainly classroom-centric type tutorials. So teaching teachers how to use different Google tools. And, you know, the standards are there, like Google Chrome and Drive and Sheets and Slides and Docs, that kind of thing. But then there's also Forms and Google Classroom, Google Calendar, Google Meet, Google Sites. There's tutorials for all these different Google tools and more in this spreadsheet. And like I said, it's geared toward teachers learning the tools. And it's just a long list as you scroll down. Some of the different tools also have links to iPad-specific tutorials. So if you're looking for that kind of thing, there are links to that. And the lists get really long as you peruse the different tools that are available in the spreadsheet. There is a second tab with other apps, non-Google apps. So it lists things like Seesaw and Schoology and Flipgrid. So if you're looking for some tutorials, there are a few listed on that. But by far, the most are listed on the Google Apps page. Also up at the top, it says click here for our parent-student version. So Rachel just linked to the teacher version of the tutorial, but there's a completely, the spreadsheet with tutorials. There's a separate spreadsheet with tutorials geared toward parents and students. And again, kind of set up in the same way with the same categories and the same kind of lengthy list of tutorials. So if you're really trying to learn about Google Docs, for instance, they have everything from adding comments to changing the default font to lots of other things, embedding a drawing, creating a bookmark, citing with EasyBib, and the list just goes on and on. It's a very lengthy list. So, and then they also have the second tab in the spreadsheet with those same other tools, Seesaw, Schoology, Flipgrid. Again, the tutorials for the student/parent specifically. So I think these are two very useful spreadsheets that can you know, help you very quickly find some resources to learn yourself as a teacher or to share with your students to help them get up to speed on the different Google tools in particular. So shout out to Rachel. She recommended that it was definitely worth checking out and sharing. So appreciate you coming through for me in my pick of the week, Rachel.
Perfect timing in a couple of respects, obviously, for you and your pick, but a lot of teachers are sitting down at their desks these days trying to figure this stuff out, and these would be great resources for them. So
I agree.
All righty. My pick of the week. I've been kind of on the hunt for a simple note-taking app. I use a couple things for work. I use OneNote, which was a pick actually not too long ago, for general data collection and just kind of a catch-all. I think OneNote is a beautiful tool for that. And then we use Trello for a lot of our project-based stuff. And I was considering both of those for personal note-taking, and I have used OneNote almost exclusively for that and a little bit of Trello. But I found it was almost too much. So I was looking for something a little bit easier to get into and out of and just kind of more straightforward and actually less bells and whistles, kind of simplify things. And I've been using Google Calendar a lot and Gmail, of course, for my personal stuff and wanted something that would work with those as well. And while OneNote can, it's not foolproof, and that was really frustrating me, and Trello as well. There's plugins for both of those to kind of get your emails and your calendar items into those and cross-sync those kinds of things, but it was not as consistent as I really needed it to be, and it was kind of complicating things. So I was kind of looking for something that works better in that ecosystem and had heard of and maybe even played with Google Keep before, and thought at the time, well, this is kind of simplistic and maybe wouldn't meet my needs, but it's actually been improving, and I'm giving it a real solid try because it really is meeting that niche, you know, especially for personal notes. If you're not familiar with Google Keep, it's cross-platform. It's got iOS and Android versions, a web version. It integrates right with a calendar, with Gmail. You can kind of have them all up on the screen at the same time. And it's perfect for just capturing simple notes, post-it type style notes, lists, so you can have checklists, you can add reminders to those, you can capture photos, so there's a button where you just use your phone's camera or pick a photo from the camera roll, and it captures audio, which was one of my requirements, because sometimes I just want to be able to speak, and it'll transcribe and capture the audio. And finally, it will capture Apple Pencil content, so it will give you the ability to draw, and I do that for some of my journaling as well. So it does all those things, and it doesn't do a lot more with those things, like OneNote will do a lot more, and even Trello will offer you some other features, but I found just for my personal stuff, this kind of fit the bill. You can share notes with family and friends, anybody with a Google account. And one of the best things about it is, obviously, it's got Google search behind it. So it's really easy to find what you're looking for. It will transcribe written notes, so you can search on written notes. So that's kind of cool. It will look in pictures for images and text in those. So if you're scanning receipts, those kinds of things, it will find those and surface those. One of the things that the other tools do that this doesn't do as well is kind of categorization. So you can add tags, of course, and color your notes for different things, but I wouldn't say that's its strong suit, but it makes up for it in search. So if you're trying to find something, you're probably not going to have trouble doing that within Google Keep. And it's really lightweight. It starts real quickly. Again, because it works on all the platforms, it's got a similar interface. So even if you hop from, you know, your iPad to your phone or to the web, it's a similar experience all the way around. So, and one of the best things about it is it's absolutely free. That was on my list as well as must have. So really impressed with it so far. I'm going to keep using it for my personal stuff. And, that along with, you know, Google Drive, you can pretty much capture almost anything and then link and, hits a nice sweet spot for me. It doesn't get a lot of press because I think people think it is too simple, but that's kind of the beauty of it as well. So that's my pick of the week, Google Keep. Ever tried it, Sally?
I have tried it. I like it. I like the little check boxes and checking things off. That's pretty fun. So I use it for like grocery list, and I can just pop out my phone and have my list right there. And
so you do use it at different times.
I've never deeply adopted it to use, you know,
right,
on a daily basis. But I can tell you this, my friend Rachel Feld came through for you, because there are tutorials both from the teacher's perspective and the parent-student perspective for Google Keep in the spreadsheets that were part of my pick of the week. So if you're looking for some extra help, we're tag-teaming today. It's kind of funny, right. I was just reflecting before we move on that, you know, if somebody's been listening to this podcast for the last 13 years, they will have heard you and I both say that we've used a variety of systems. And I think that's just reflective of the fact that technology is constantly changing and our needs are constantly changing. And we can adopt something and be really excited about it and use it for a year or two and then be ready to stretch our legs and try something different. And so it's neat to see you finding a simpler tool of all things. That's not usually the direction we go, but good stuff.
Right. It's not quite pen and paper, but it's
oh, that's simpler. The other thing I thought of. I went this weekend and bought a new notebook. I was shopping at Hobby Lobby. What a happy place that is to shop. And I got a notebook that was labeled bullet journal. I was really looking for something for doing my Bible journaling because I've been mm-hmm. writing verses of the Bible every day, and I am about at the end of the notebook that I've been using most recently. And I grabbed a notebook, but it was wrapped in plastic. There weren't any open examples there to look at. And when I got home, the height of the lines is really tiny. I mean, like, I don't think I can write that small, you know, for paragraphs of text like that. So it made me think, maybe I should start a paper bullet journal. I haven't done that in a while. And that's kind of going full circle for me because I've been doing a lot of journaling on my iPad this year, a new tool that I had in the mix. So I don't know what the right tool is for different purposes, but I might end up going back to some paper and pencil for some of it. So we'll see.
All right. It's a never-ending quest.
Yeah.
All right. Community feedback we're up to. Sally, what do we have?
Well, first up, I want to give a shout out to Pastor Joel Panko, who serves at Trinity in Bay City, Michigan. Pastor Panko reached out and was looking for some help or direction, things to explore for worship projection. And I can't remember, they're doing worship projection currently, but he was looking at what other options are out there just to get a feel. And you know, Martin, that's not something we've talked about very recently. It's been over a year ago that we actually interviewed a lady from Faith Life about their Proclaim software. One of them, I think her name was Kristen Tate or something to that effect. And it was a great interview, and she really, you know, pulled back the curtain and gave us the inside look at what Proclaim can do for you and how it works. I know at that time she actually gave us a code to get the software for free for a period of time to try it out. And I tried that code the other day when I was corresponding with Pastor Panko, and it still works. So I will throw a link in the show notes if anybody's looking for worship projection coordination efforts software. Perhaps Proclaim is something to consider. And you can listen to the interview with Kristen and learn more about it.
Very good.
Over on our Google group, Martin, there's been a little bit of buzz around web content filtering in a school setting in particular. Ben Polzine posed the question, and a couple of different guys, I want to say, Mike Plucker from St. Paul's New Ulm and our friend Jason Schmidt, our other semi-regular classroom technology correspondent, jumped in and gave some direction on different software that they use for that purpose. So if you're looking for web content filtering, especially with Chromebooks, there are some great tools out there, and you might want to give this discussion thread a read because there was some back and forth and good information shared, as always, on the Wells Tech Google group. There's always people that are willing to jump in and share their expertise, so a good place to ask questions and get answers.
Yeah, what I like about these discussions is they come from real life experience. And, you know, even though they'll say, hey, this is what we use, they'll also say, but it doesn't do this, or I'm not happy about that, so be careful of that. So that, and that's really what you want. You want not just kind of the bullet points from the website. You want, you know, kind of real life experiences in a classroom or in a church setting or whatever the technology is that we're trying to fit in here. So that's the beauty of a group like Wells Tech, where you can get that from knowledgeable people. And I can probably count on one hand the time questions have been asked that, you know, we didn't have an answer within a day, or a couple people answering or chiming in a longer discussion than more than just you know, birds chirping. So it's chirping crickets. So it's it's a really good experience, I think, there. So if you are just, it's probably a good place to insert this. If you're interested in joining that group, if you haven't heard of our Wells Tech Google group, just go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. And across the top, there is a link to it along with all the social network stuff. And we obviously frequent that and usually share what the discussions are on this show. So if you've listened to any of our shows, you know that it's actually fairly frequent that we bring something up that appears on that Google group.
Another group that we monitor, Martin, and are both members of, is over on Facebook. Now, I know not everyone does Facebook, but many of the posts that are in this group, Wells Intersections, are available even if you aren't a Facebook member or whatever. You can peruse the discussions and things. It's moderated by Pastor Jay James Aderman, retired pastor, I should say. And he always does a really good
job. He's not so retired, I don't think.
No, he's always busy, isn't he? He does a really great job of bringing to the forefront different articles that he comes across, especially around church and social media, communications, those kind of topics. And in particular, this week we wanted to mention one titled Five Reasons Why Some Churches Won't Recover. And of course, that means won't recover from all of the challenges that we're currently facing. And Pastor Aderman said the reason that stood out to him from the article was poor communication. And the other issues that are listed, insider focus, financial issues, volunteer erosion, things like that, they kind of all stem off of poor communication. So there was a really great discussion on the Facebook page around that article and thoughts that were shared there. And we definitely can link to that article as well as the discussion in our show notes if you'd like to hear what people are saying and kind of the do's and don'ts of the communication challenges that we're all facing during COVID-19.
Very good. Yeah, thank you, Jim, for all the work there and the healthy discussion that goes on there as well. Okay, very, very good stuff. Sally, over the summer, we don't usually normally do a Wells Now segment, but this next community, I usually will kind of cheat and plug some of these things into community feedback because I think it's relevant because on our website are great resources for COVID-19 planning and preparation and wanted to call your attention to some of those in this segment here in community feedback. COVID-19 for such a time as this is a great resource pack put together by our congregational services team. If you haven't seen this and you are in any way responsible for or interested in kind of dealing with the pandemic on a congregational level, this is kind of a must-have. They've done a really nice job putting together resources from a lot of different places. They call it a timely magazine, and that's kind of what it is. It's a collection of different articles and resources that they've put together that should address a lot of the questions that you might be having. Just a real practical group of resources. So take a look at that. We'll obviously have a link in the show notes. Our school's office, our Lutheran school's office, which is kind of part of congregational services, also have resources out there for back to school, things to think about, important links that you need to probably have in your back pocket as you're making some of these difficult decisions. And then a nice Google Doc from Wells Early Childhood. There's a planning for reopening resources link there as well. And that baked into it has a bunch of different relevant links from things like the American Academy of Pediatrics, CDC, just kind of all in one place that'll help you kind of get prepped for opening up your preschools and early childhood ministry opportunities there. So take advantage of those. Our folks have put in a lot of hard time getting these things together and making sense of it all, which is one of the big challenges these days. So take advantage of all that stuff.
Very good. Our video of the week is kind of a some good news type video for those that followed SGN this summer or this spring. This is a some good news well style because the St. Mark Ministries in the Green Bay area made it on the news channel. So we'll have a link to the video and the article from WFRV there in Green Bay. They actually got together as a group and went and had a prayer with the police in their area in Green Bay. So just an opportunity to reach out and show their support for the local police and have an opportunity to lead a prayer there. So it's very positive and perhaps worth checking out and considering, you know, how you can support the local police potentially as well. So, yeah, check out the news.
Very good. That's going to about do it for our show this week. Coming up in our next show, we're going to be talking about another example of great communications from our friends at Martin Luther College. And they're obviously trying to figure out how to open up their doors to the students that are going to be coming back to the Hill. And we're going to be talking to Bill Peckrell about the things that they were considering and how they put together some of these communication resources over which he is responsible. And maybe we can learn a few things from their thought process and some of the materials that they put together as well. So tune in next time for that. Thanks, Sally, for everything you do. And thanks to all of our listeners for coming back once again. Show 634. Hopefully you'll come back for 635. Blessings on your week. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.